lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 102.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour will be from the prophecy of Isaiah, thereof chapter 53. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard it, it is thy own word, and that thou hast revealed and published concerning thyself, and that relation that thou dost have unto thy own church. Oh, we have heard it declared unto us in these moments that thou hast made intercession for transgressors, O Lord. It is a wonder that thou still permittest us to have a few feet upon the face of this earth, that we might live and that we may come up unto thy house of prayer yet. to beseech of thee that thou wouldst also include us and our dear children in that intercession that thou dost make before thy Father on behalf of transgressors, with the ground of thy own satisfaction. O Lord, could it please thee also to include us, because we are as water spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. Thou knowest that our sin cannot be undone. That which we have thought and which we have spoken and which we have done in our life, all that lives in the motives of our wretched and evil hearts, and that are so cleaving to self and to sin and to Satan and to this world. O Lord, it is just a heap of transgression and iniquity, and we do not see even the smallest part of it. It needs to be opened unto us that we might mourn for it, and that we might smite upon our breast and cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, we cannot give unto ourselves one true desire, one true longing, and we can give ourselves no knowledge of ourselves, because we have fallen so dead in sins and in trespasses, and in such great ignorance of thee and thy law and thy perfections, and thy righteousness and thy holiness and thy justice, thy love and thy worthiness and thy majesty, and how that we were created before thee and how deeply we have fallen. O Lord, we need it opened unto us. We beseech it of thee, even in these very moments when we have come unto thy own institution in thy house, where thou dost say that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, and thou art in the midst of them. O Lord, do show unto us, as we read in thy holy word, that our wounds do stink and are corrupt. Oh, that we might chastise ourselves because of our own foolishness. Thy judgments do rest upon us. Oh, could it be with all our heart that we may cry to thee as we have sung it together with my burden of transgression, heavy laden, overborne. Humble, lo, I make confession, for my folly now I mourn. O Lord, bring it in our heart, each and every one of us, and cause us to come in the dust of self-abasement before thee, for thou hast made a way for such wretched creatures to be brought again into thy blessed favor and communion. Our Lord, that needs also to be opened unto those whose heart is smitten by thy Spirit. They can see nothing of it until thou openest it unto them. Could it please thee also in this hour to look upon them in thy favor and to give true saving faith a new object, that they might see and believe in thy dear and only begotten Son, who hast come to take away that breach that is between God and the soul of a sinner. O Lord, that they might see a little of the freeness of that grace that thou dost proffer, of that peace and that pardon that thou hast bought by the great price of thy blood. O Lord, that thou may open the freeness of that blessed mercy that there is at thy throne of grace, that they may be given with a true humble heart to be brought at thy blessed footstool, and so to magnify thy name in the dust of self-abasement with a Mephibosheth of old, who said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? All those are the places, Lord, the low places of the earth, and where thou dost receive thy greatest glory. For thy mistress did say, thou dost hear the humble, and thou dost raise them out of the dust. Thou dost bring those that are poor and wretched and miserable to sit on the thrones of judgment. Lord, could it please thee to give the experience of it in the midst of us? May it be also in this very hour that we might feel, believingly know, that thy presence and thy spirit is among us, and that there might be new ones also born in Zion, little children, young people, old ones also, with the hardest of hearts that cannot break it, that wish, that to cry, that to beg of thee, Lord, even in old age, that thou may give that stiff and hardened heart to cry, to break, to bow, and to receive that which they are not able to give themselves all these years. They are so unworthy, as each and every one of us. Oh, that they might feel it also, even as the years do climb, and that they may be given self-abhorrence, and that they may be given also a blessed trusting, a looking forth unto him who is able in one moment to give everything that they stand in need of before that they must die and pass out of this life. Oh Lord, the matter is urgent. It is urgent for each and every one of us, for we know not the day of our death, and we need it bound upon our carnal and wretched and sinful hearts. Oh, show to us we are on a pilgrim journey, that we might know that all the things here below are not for us to look at and to touch, but oh, that we may be given to enter through that straight gate and to travel upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Look upon us as a congregation consistory in all the needs and cares. O Lord, thou art the only one is able to supply for all the needs that man cannot supply for. The needs of mind, the needs of body, the needs of soul. Our Lord, thou knowest where each one is. Wilt thou look upon him that is in the hospital? Lord, wilt thou make it well? He is young, and the calling comes so close unto him in these days. O Lord, could it please thee to bless it, that he may be given also a place to cry for that heart that is so full of iniquity, and that he may be given also to know the cleansing of that heart. Wilt thou give the doctors wisdom in his case and supply for all that are in hospitals that take medicines that are under doctor's care? Remember all the handicapped, all that are weak, weak of the mind, weak of the body. Wilt thou look on those that mourn, relatives we know not, thou knowest. Care for each one. Lord, look upon our countries wherein we live. Thou knowest also what has taken place in the days that are gone by. That thou may remember, that thou may spare life, that thou may give wisdom to our rulers. Protect now. Oh, could it be that thou wouldst bring peace among the nations? And yet we may know out of thy word that it shall not be. O Lord, thou dost say that when all these things come to pass, wars and rumors of wars, O Lord, then we must be looking upward, because the end that is drawing nigh, O Lord, that we might hasten for our life's sake. Remember the beloved for the Father's sakes. Lord, care for them. Open their eyes. They receive victories here below. But Lord, could it be that thou wouldst receive the victory in them, that they may be brought low, that they may humble themselves before thee, and that they might kiss the Son, lest they perish from the way. Remember all those that are in need, all that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Remember those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Forgive and take away all of our sins and care for us in this hour. Give thy word free course, us strength a little to bring thy word, wisdom to know how to speak in thy name. And could it please thee to make us a little instrument for the welfare of this flock? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 140, stanzas 1 through 4. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. All stanzas of Psalter 140. Beloved congregation, we read in the Word of God, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day." Who said that, children? You say that was King Saul. What is a curse? What does it mean to curse? That means to call down the judgments of God. When those judgments of God are threatened against a person, then that person is lying under the curse. What happened? Jonathan tasted a little bit of honey. You know that story. And did Jonathan die? No. Why not? Solomon, he said, "The curse causeless shall not come." Thus, it was without a cause. When that curse is not rightly spoken, no, the Lord will not hear it. He will not bring his judgment. But it is very different when that curse is well spoken. If we think about what Saul did when he cursed Elimus the sorcerer, then we know that he immediately went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And that is why Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel, because that curse of God is not something that just is able to be removed. Thus, we read in God's word what Paul says. He says, "Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." Who is that? Is that also us? That is a curse not just spoken by a man. No, that is a curse that is spoken by God. And if there is any curse that is not able to be removed, it is this one. What does that mean? The congregation, the judgments of God, and they are hanging over us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because it is unbelief of this that does put a man to sleep. That is what Satan says, do not believe it. And just continue on in your life, just like tomorrow is going to be like this day and much more abundant. You say, what profit is it if I would believe this? Is there any possibility that that curse can be annulled? There is, congregation, no possibility of this. Because God is not a man that he should lie. He is not the Son of Man and that should repent. That curse is spoken, and that curse remains. But you know that Ahasuerus did find a way to deliver the afflicted, the poor people of the Jews, who were lying under the curse. And if Ahasuerus is able to find a way, is not the Lord able to find a way for his church who are lying under this curse? Ahasuerus could make another decree by which his people were delivered. And thus the Lord, who is not able to take away the first decree because of his own truth, because of his own faithfulness, he can yet make another decree. and that decree which he has made and what he has been pleased to do is the subject of our catechism in this afternoon hour that we wish to consider together out of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15, which speaks about faith in our suffering substitute. First, the passion in his substitutionary work. Second, the character of his substitutionary work. And third, the deliverance by his substitutionary work. Faith in our suffering substitute. First, the passion in his substitutionary work. Question and answer 37. What dost thou understand by the words he suffered? That he, all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind, that so by his passion, as the only propitiatory sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation, and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. The passion in his substitutionary work. Question and answer 38. The character of his substitutionary work. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed, the character of his substitutionary work. And last, the deliverance by his substitutionary work. Question and answer 39. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Yes, there is. For thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me. For the death of the cross was accursed of God. Thus, congregation, in the first place, the passion in his substitutionary work. Why do we say that? The passion in his substitutionary work. Because there is more in his substitutionary work than his passion. There is more that needs to be substituted. That is also his active obedience that needs to be substituted, that needs to be brought over to the account of man from the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here our fathers are speaking about the curse and the suffering that is due to us on account of that curse. That is a curse that is not able to be annulled. And thus there must be another solution. And what is the solution of the Father? That solution is substitution. Thus the decree of that curse that remains, that is spoken already by him, that is unchangeable, but another decree can also be made. And what is that? That is a decree concerning the propitiatory sacrifice. So propitiatory, what does that mean? That means that it is intended a sacrifice that is not just there for a show. No, that is actually intended to expiate, to appease God. It is actually there to make an atonement. It is actually there to stand in the place and be a replacement, as it were, for the sacrifice of someone else. It is propitiatory. This congregation has again been a great controversy within the church for many years. That is, even the need for such a propitiatory work and the reality of a propitiatory work. Was it actually an atonement, or is the death and the suffering of Christ only an example that man should follow if he would do what is right? So he led a life that was one of bearing a cross. And that is indeed an example for us. But is it more than an example? That is now what our fathers are speaking about in this Lord's Day. What dost thou understand by the words he suffered? That is a good question, isn't it? Why? Well, maybe you have sometimes that question too, young people. You say, what does it mean then that he has suffered? How can that be? Because he is God. That is right. So you say, can God suffer? You say, no. God can't. Well, how about the Lord Jesus then? Is not the Lord Jesus God? So did not God suffer? You say, well, but the Lord Jesus was not only God. We have heard that the Lord Jesus is also a man. He has also a human nature. That is right. And it is now in that human nature, not in the divine nature, because the divine nature cannot suffer. And therefore the Lord Jesus had to take on him that human nature that he may be able to suffer. So no, he did not suffer in his Godhead, but he suffered in his humanity. But we have just heard that his divinity and his humanity have been brought together. They have been united together in one person. And that is the reason that we say that the Son of God suffered. And then we need to be able to explain it, right? Because it is possible even to say God suffered. But then we need to explain what we mean. There is more to it than just words. After we have heard in the past Lord's days about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have heard about his lordship, we have heard about his names, his personal name, his official name, Jesus and Christ. Now our articles begin to speak about his office, that is his work that he has done, that he was sent to do in this world by his Father. And now the office of mediation that he has done begins where? It begins with suffering. Does your work begin with suffering? That is the beginning of his work. That is now the work that he came to do, a great part of his work. That is often we call by the word passion. That is the passion of Christ. And that word, that meaning is a bit antiquated now. But that within that word, there is actually an indication of passivity. So what is passivity? You are sometimes, young people, active, and other times you are passive. So to be active, then you are up and you are doing something. But to be passive, you say, well, I am not doing anything. And thus, this passion of the Lord Jesus includes the fact, even in that very word, his passivity. That means that he did not do anything. What did he not do? Well, what we read in God's word, that he went as a lamb to the slaughter. That is, and that he opened not his mouth. That is something that he did not do. He did not object. And when they would take him, he did not fight. He said to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. His disciples were offended that he did not do, that he was not active in opposing his own suffering, his own death. That was a great part of his work. That is his passivity. The Lord Jesus did not inflict that punishment on himself. That is what the ascetics do. They cut themselves, they hit themselves, they bruise themselves, and so on. That is not what the Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus was passive when others, under his own permission, according to his own will, in compliance with the will of his Father, that he allowed others to cause him to suffer. That is the great love that the Lord Jesus has showed unto his church, that is typified in the love between you, husbands and wives. So it is said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. That he gave himself passively, giving himself up to the cruelty of his enemies. The work of Christ began with giving himself in what we call the state of his humiliation, leaving the exalted place of his Father and coming into this world. Paul says, being found in the fashion as a man. Being found in fashion as a man. What is that? That is his incarnation. But also he says he humbled himself. Then he did more than just became a man, just became incarnate. But when he became a man, in becoming a man, he humbled himself. He brought himself into the state of humiliation. What is the state of a person? What is your state? What is my state? State is our relation to the justice of God. What is your relation to the justice of God? Either we are innocent, or we would say acquitted, or we are guilty. Thus either the law is standing for us, or that law is accusing us. It is standing against us. That state of guilt, wherein a man is under the law, and wherein the law is accusing him, that is now the state of Christ's humiliation. If the law accuses us, well, then we need to be punished, right? Then we need to suffer. Suffering, punishment, what is that? That is a consequence. It is a consequence of sin. And so if a man is in the jail, or children, if you have a demerit from your teacher, I say then we know something, if it is just. Of course, then we know something. Then you have done something wrong. Then you are a sinner. Thus, suffering, punishment, that is a consequence of sin. And when that consequence of sin is there and that man is sitting in the jail, then we know, when we can count on justice, that that man is a sinner. Now what do we read of the Lord Jesus? We read of his suffering. Our fathers say all the time that he lived on the earth, that was already evident when he was just a little child, in his poverty, and that he was being persecuted, that he had to flee, for example. All those things show that he had to suffer. So what does that mean? If that is just, what does that mean? You say then he is a sinner. That is right. That's what the Pharisees and scribes said. Because they said, you are no different than any one of us. All the consequences of sin, they are in your life just as in ours. Whom makest thou thyself? Thus, he must be a sinner. Right, young people? You say, how can that be? Because what does the Bible say? What did he say? He says, which of you convinceth me of sin? And who could do that? They tried, did they not? Pharisees, the scribes. And immediately he had his answer. And there was no one that was able to convince him of sin. So now what? Say there's only one other cause. There's only one other reason that when justice is done, that he can be suffering. And what is that? That he is doing it for someone else. That he has been put in place of someone else. It can only be because he is a substitute. Thus we have his suffering in connection with his innocence as proof of the substitutionary character of his work. That is what that thief saw, did he not? And when he was hanging upon that tree, is that not the thing that he may, in all his misery, take hold of by a true, by a living faith? He said, this man, what man? This suffering man upon the tree, upon the cross, he has done nothing amiss. And there can only be one thing, and that is that this man, this suffering man, that he is the sacrificial Lamb of God. The Lord opened it to him. The Spirit opened it to him. He saw it. And then his soul went, because when the Lord shows it, when the Lord reveals it, then our soul goes. It goes out to him. It goes after him as that sacrificial, that propitiatory Lamb of God. All the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. Greatest part of his sufferings, congregation, were at the end of his life. Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha, the garden, in the court, and on the cross. Everything else was all leading up. Everything that he suffered before this was a premonition. It was an indication that more was coming. The greatest part of the sufferings of mankind are at the end. The greatest part of the sufferings of mankind are not yet. Everything that we suffer, children, you're sometimes sick. Are you sometimes sad? Do you sometimes have pain? Are there afflictions? All things you suffer, where does all that come from? Do you ever think about that? That all is the consequence of our sin. Oh, think about this for a moment. It's only the beginning. It's only at the beginning. Every time we are sick, or that we have pain, and that we have disappointment, then we must think about something. We must think about what is coming, and that these little indications are callings to us. They are callings to impel us that we might seek a propitiatory sacrifice who suffered even for this very, very reason, that so by his passion as the only propitiatory sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. That was the purpose of his humiliation, of his suffering, because the redemption of the church of God could be obtained in no other way. We have heard that from Isaiah. He is despised. He is rejected of men, a man of sorrows. He is acquainted with grief. Surely we read, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Ah, standing in that place, surely, Isaiah says, he was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Oh, Isaiah says a long time ago that this is a substitutionary work. That is now the character. We see that a little more in our second question here, the character of his substitutionary work. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge, that he being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed? Our fathers say something here. What do they say? They say that this substitution has an official character, not just a private character. No, but this is something that is taking place by and under the authority of God himself. That is a great undergirding of the faith of God's people. Because they are always hungering, always panting after evidences that come from heaven. You need them too? I say, show me now something that comes from heaven, that is not just from man. Congregation, what happens in a court is something that is very, very weighty. And why is what happens in a court very weighty? It is because the court is the institution of God. And it is God speaking through that court, judging man on the earth. Would we want Christ to be sitting on that earthly throne? Who would dare to come before such a judge? No, the Lord uses men, and he uses that court, and he is speaking through that court. That is why fathers and mothers, teachers, office bearers, every one of us who has just a little portion of that authority to judge, to make a judgment. Students, our children, whatever it may be, have a great responsibility. We are accountable. We must give an answer. To whom? To God. Because fathers and mothers, when that little child comes to you with his complaint, with his difficulty, and he asks you to make a judgment between me and my brother or me and my sister, then you stand in that child's life, in that moment, in the place of God. In the place of God. You say that is just a little thing. It's just a little child. No. No. You are training that child. And that child is looking for judgment. He expects judgment. And a right judgment. And a right investigation through that judge. Ah, you see the great, great responsibility of bringing up children, even little children, in this world. And now Pilate, he is also a judge. He was a judge in this world that was, we understand, very, very wicked. And he will have to give an account for his own wickedness. And yet, his judgment is official. That is a court that the Lord has given in this world. And through that court, the Lord himself is speaking. That is in all the cases that we have in this world. Do you have a case? Does that judge not do right? Also for you, who are misjudged by a man in this world, God is standing above that. Does he do something wrong? He does nothing wrong to you. He does nothing wrong to any of us. That judge will have to give an account. We also need to give an account. How that we are under the judgment of God. Can you ever rest? Under the judgment of God, through everything that the Lord is doing, that is also so unjust from the side of men. Let us sing a moment from 233, 6 and 7. Oh, will thy anger never cease? Forever shall thy wrath increase. Revive and quicken us once more, and thy salvation's joy restore. 3, 6, and 7 of 230. Thank you. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge, that he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, being innocent? That was the very testimony of Pilate himself as judge when he was in the court after examination, after trial. Every accusation that came against him was without merit. They were false accusations. There was nothing that was laid to his charge that could be substantiated. I find no fault in this man. That is now the verdict of the judge, that he, being innocent and yet condemned. There you have it. There you have those two things that are necessary to prove the substitutionary character of the suffering and death of Christ, that is, before the judgment seat of God. Therefore, our fathers say that he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. The official character of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ has a tremendous consequence for the church. What is the consequence? That is the official character of their acquittal. It is the official character of their redemption. The evidences of that character that are showing under his, and in that court, Gabbatha, they are, as it were, a buttress to faith for those who are looking for the evidences that are coming from God himself. And the Lord is multiplying these. We see that in our last thought, the deliverance by his substitutionary work. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Yes, there is, for thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God. That is not just a figment of the imagination of man, of our fathers. No, we read that in the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, by the Apostle, by the Lord himself, through the Apostle. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Thus, we have the death of the cross, hanging on a tree. Horrible death. A most painful death, but also a most shameful death. A most humbling death. And yet it is death that was chosen by the Father for his Son. What do you think, fathers? If you had to make such an awful choice, how my son will die, will you make this choice? But the Father made that choice. And he made that choice for a reason. Because that death by the cross is a figure. It is a representation. It is a sign of the curse. Thus, the ignominy, the pain, everything about that suffering of Christ was increased for the sake of his church. by this particular kind of death. The Lord here declares that that death of the cross of Christ, that is a testimony, that is for his church, that that curse that lays upon them has been suffered, that is now taken away. Is that curse disannulled? Did he take it back? No, he cannot take that back. That is not possible. God is not a man that he should lie. But it is now fulfilled. It is now fulfilled. The Lord has given a substitute, and he has placed his son to make an actual atonement, to actually be standing and hanging, standing in the judgment and hanging upon that cross in the very place of his people. Here is the comfort for a people who experience and feel their worthiness of pain, of shame, of ignominy, to the highest degree. Do you ever feel something of the curse that is laying on you? Do you ever feel something of that? Or never anything? That punishment that is justly awaiting us on account of our sin, the transgression of the law, not only of men, but the law of God. Do you ever have an impression? Do you ever live under the threat of the judgment of God? Because if the Lord begins, then we begin to receive saving impressions who God is, who we are, what his law is, what the wrath of God is that is laying against us. Isaiah says in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord sitting on his throne high and lifted up. And one cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Did you ever have such an impression of the holiness, of the majesty, of the righteousness and of the justice of God? Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because mine eyes have seen the King." Ah, he has seen the glory of the Lord. And if by a regenerating grace, then there is faith. And then we get to see that a little bit, not too much, because we would be consumed. But if we may see it a little bit, then we will say with Isaiah, "Woe is me." Why? Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Woe is me. Then we begin to feel something of this. What did the thief say? He says, "We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds." Did you ever feel that? With every pain, with every weakness, with everything that may come against us in our life, the little premonitions of what is coming, what is lying in the future, that you say, this is now what I deserve. True saving faith believes. Do you know what it believes? It believes that I am the chief of sinners. Did you ever believe that? Because congregation, we know our own heart. We don't know each other's heart. But all that we can say is, what I can see is in here. I can't believe would be in any other heart. Would be in any other heart. Did you ever see that? That you have to say, Paul, no, not you. But I am the chief. Oh, true saving faith that is led. It is led by the Spirit of the Lord to acknowledge that the Lord is just, that the Lord is right, and that my punishment and that curse that is lying over me, that is well deserved, but through saving faith, the Lord is leading. If the Lord is leading us to that place, then the Lord is also leading us further. When it is His own work, then the Lord is also leading us to see and to hope upon the substitutionary work of this propitiatory sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, that is by the testimony of His word, not by fantastic things, no. That is through the preaching of His word. That is by the reading of His word. That is by reading what is based on that word of God. Are you doing that, young people? Because this is how is the means by which faith is given. This is by the means by which the objects of faith are revealed unto the souls of God's children. Oh, when that is now revealed, when that is opened up, when there is light, and that is given to that soul, then that soul is given a look. He is given to look upon that serpent. That serpent that is raised upon that pole, and raised upon that pole for the very sake of those who are bitten, bitten because of their own iniquity, because of their own sin, and the judgments of the Lord upon them because what they have done, then they are given to receive something, that true saving faith of that healing. When they may look for a moment, just a moment, upon that cross, upon that Son of God, who is hanging, who is suffering upon that cross of Calvary. Ah, what a beauty. What a beauty they see in Him. That is a beauty that no one can see. Except the man who is cursed, who is bitten. No other man is able to see the beauty of this suffering Savior. That is a precious moment. You know that moment in your life? That is a moment we will not forget. That is a moment that we will be able to tell of to our children. Even to our grandchildren, man in his wisdom, in his might, in his own righteousness, sees no beauty in him, no form, no comeliness, no need for such a substitute. How many mocked when he was on the cross? If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe thee. That cross was a sign of what? Weakness. Weakness. Then at the same time, they saw it as a sign of weakness. Then that man, that thief, he saw the might. He saw the power of God. He saw the power, the might, of the Son of God. As the Son of Man, he saw that might and his power when he was hanging in his human suffering, giving himself. He saw what no other man could see, except for a man who was with him hanging upon that cross. His own suffering was not enough to pay for all his iniquity. It was not enough before the judgment seat of God. He could see it. It had no value. And now you know what he needed? When he saw that suffering substitute, he says, could he also be my substitute? It's late. It's very late in my life. Another hour, 2, 3 hours, and it will be eternity. Could he still be? Could that be? Could that be for a life like my life? He said, could he be my substitute? And what did he do then? His soul. His soul went out first. And after his soul began to go out, then his prayer began to go out. Oh Lord, remember me. Is that not simple? Is that not simple? Child can pray it, right? Don't need to go to school for that here in this world. Kindergarten. 4 years old. 3 years old. With just the knowledge of my misery and of that curse. And then to cry out, Lord, remember me. Congregation, do we know something of this? This suffering substitute, he is willing to stand in the breach. He's willing to do that. For the greatest of sinners, there is no sinner too great. For him to stand in the breach between God and your soul. His suffering was a suffering upon that cursed tree. For whom? For a people who are cursed. Who are cursed. Are you cursed? Let such a people draw nigh to him. Draw nigh to him just with that thief. Do not say, I am too old. Do not say, it is too late. Do not say, I don't have time to make it right again with God. Do not say that, because that is all what the devil says to you. It's too late. It's too old. And you have to fix it all up first. No. No. No, it is only in the way of repentance. To draw nigh unto him. This man receiveth who? Those who have made it good again? No. This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. And eateth with them. The guiltiest of the guilty. The filthiest of the filthy. Are received by this man. Israel, they sinned against the Lord, right? And what did the Lord say? He says, I will destroy them. You know what we read? Had not Moses stood before him in the breach. To turn away his wrath. He was a type. He was a type. And he is the proof that it is in the good pleasure of the Lord. The Lord did not have to do this. To accept a sacrifice, he did not have to do this. That was simply out of his good pleasure. In his own decree, for the love of his people and for the desire to bring that people back again into his own communion. Oh, if faith may only once look at him while they're lying there, congregation, under that curse. If you may be lying there under that curse, oh, if faith may just once for one moment, be given to look upon him, then you have a testimony. You have a testimony in your own heart. Because you are going to feel something. If that takes place in your heart, you're going to feel something. You're going to feel at least a very, very small relief. You're going to feel at least a very, very small hope, even if it is that you say, who can tell that he would stand in the place also for me. For such a one as I am. If you know that in your life, you are going to desire to know that again. All you're going to say, Lord, could I only look one more time? You're going to feel how impossible it is to give yourself that moment again that you could truly hope. You are going to know that faith is a gift of God. And you are going to know that he gave it to you because you can't give it to yourself. You couldn't, you still cannot. And you are going to be at one day more and one day less. But you are going to be at that throne of grace saying, Lord, could I see thee once again? Standing in that breach, that I might see, Lord, that there is no more curse. David says, great is thy mercy toward me, for thou hast delivered me from the lowest hell. Balak congregation said to Balaam, come, curse me, Israel. Curse me, Israel. Balaam was a wicked man. The Spirit of the Lord did not allow him. And then he said, by that Spirit of the Lord, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? There we have it. There is a people, congregation, whom God no more curses. No more curses. That is now completely taken away. Not because the curse itself has been annulled, but because there has been a substitute. You know that, right, children? Isaac, he is walking with his father. And then he says to his father, he says, Father, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You see that too, sometimes. Just the fire and the wood. You see the judgment. You feel a little bit of that wrath. But you say, now where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? What did Abraham say? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Then we read, so they went, both of them together. There they went. And the answer that is ringing in the heart of that young lad, God. Will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. But he doesn't see it yet, does he? Did the Lord do it? He always does it. Always. When did he do it for that boy? When that boy was laying on the altar. When he was bound upon that altar. Then it happened in his life. And then that judgment was stayed for him. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took that ram and offered it up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we need it, each one of us, we and our children. Oh, could it please thee to show unto us a little, not everything, Lord, because we are men, but a little of the curse, that we might know, that we might flee, that we may be awakened out of our sleep, and that there may be preciousness to be seen in him who has so freely given himself to this suffering and to glory in the blessed good pleasure of the Father, that he was so willing to receive a substitute when that curse cannot be annulled. O Lord, we beseech thee. These are such precious matters, and they need to be known and felt in the heart of both young and old before we die and appear at thy great judgment seat. Do bless thy word this day, from this morning and this afternoon. Give us to keep thy day holy, and give us a desire that we may seek, that we might also know these precious things. Be with us in this week. Remember us when we gather, when thou wilt give it in a service in this week for the sending forth of those who hope to go to the mission field eventually. Lord, wilt thou give us a desire and the ability to be together, and that thou may give a blessing also, care for our children and young people, our teachers at school in these last days, supply for them, us as a consistory tomorrow evening, do forgive and take away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Song of Zacharias 1:3-7. Now be the God of Israel blessed, who makes his truth appear. His mighty hand fulfills his word, and all the oaths he swear. 1:3-7 of the Song of Zacharias. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.